Good morning, everyone. This is Mark Parsons speaking to you from Great Hope Christian Fellowship today, those who may be hearing this message, as well as those that are here today. It's been on my heart to share with us today about the enablement to serve. God gives us the ability to do sometimes what we think is the impossible, but He will give us the ability. He will enable us to do what we think can't be done quite often. Sometimes in our natural abilities, we say yes, sir, and we head out to do it because we know it's all possible. But when it's impossible, or it seems to be impossible, we kind of go out with little wobbly knees and a little trepidation about going out. And that's when we have to trust the Lord. So I know there's a lot of things going on in a lot of our families and situations where it's just a lot of things on your plate that you need to trust the Lord for, that I need to trust the Lord for. And that's what we intend to do, is to encourage one another to keep doing that. Do not quit. Do not stop. Some of the disciples began to leave Jesus. And Jesus turned around and said, "Are you going to leave me too?" And I believe it was Peter that said, "Where can we go? You have the words to eternal life." There's no rock to crawl under if we don't want to trust Him. Having come to know Him and to forsake Him, we lose it all. So we need to stay on the walk, on the journey with Him, and go through the trials that we may be facing. And I just sense that a lot of you are. I just said just a little bit ago that Peter could have just as easily walked under the waves as well as on top of the waves. And that would have been just as miraculous as walking on top of the water as below the water. Can you imagine Peter? Jonah was in the belly of the whale, but what about Peter? He could have just easily went below those waves, and without any scuba outfit on or any gear whatsoever, he'd been down there just breathing just like a fish. It would have been just as miraculous. Then God could have done that. But the lesson was learned, and Peter looked at the waves and he went under. He looked to Jesus and he was above the waves. I want to share with us some things today, and we're going to be heading to, not right now, we will be heading to Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We're going to be heading there, but I wanted to tell you that because it gives us the target that we're shooting for. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And a lot of times we may not say it with our mouth, but actually inside, deep inside, we kind of doubt that, don't we? When we face things that we are kind of intimidated by, we don't see how it's going to work out. We don't see how God's going to do it. We have many testimonies to one another to share about how God worked out things in the past, and but right now in the given situation, we're not sure because we don't know the outcome. Until it's over, then we can testify how great God is. So it is in the moment, though, when you doubt and when you have you're intimidated and you have apprehensions and you don't know how it's all going to turn out. Maybe be pre-surgery as opposed to post-surgery and all these things that we face. It's easy to testify after it's all over. But what about in the midst of it? What about in the midst of the storm, the midst of the waves, the midst of those things that intimidate us so much? That's where faith has to be real, and that's when we have to really look to Him. I want to share something with you to begin this journey here this morning with in Exodus with Moses, just briefly, Exodus chapter 3. Put yourself here in his place. Don't knock him too much. Because it's easy to do that. It's easy to read about somebody and what they went through and maybe saying to yourself, "Well, I would have handled it differently." How do you know that? How do you know you would have handled it differently unless you were in their shoes? Well, how many of you have said, you have said it yourself, "If I were you, I would," you know, type of thing. So we don't want to so much, make it sound so easy to say, "If I were you." But a lot of times we can give advice and counsel that way. But anyhow, we need to hear from the Lord what He wants us to do. But I'm not going to knock Moses here. I just want to briefly mention some things here about some things in his interaction with the Lord. And in to make some sense out of this, in Exodus chapter 3, we'll start with verse 11, but what's going on here, it's when the Lord appeared to him in the burning bush, and he wants him to go deliver his people from Egypt. Miraculously, the bush was burning, but not consumed. It was definitely God, and he definitely knew it. And here he was, 40 years in Egypt. Now he's been 40 years in the wilderness. Now he's going to spend another 40 years leading his children through the wilderness to deliver them to the promised land, but not enter himself. So God chose him. God chose him. God chose Drew. God chose Mark. God chose Helen. God chose. And he knew us before we were fashioned in the womb. How about that? Only God can know that. Before we even fashioned, he knew us. He's got a plan for us. He doesn't want somebody else to live your life for you. Ted is Ted. Mark is Mark. And God wants Ted to walk it, and he wants me to walk it. He wants Moses to walk it. It's over for him, you know, but he had a situation that God called him to do, and that was, but the principles are the same for us. But can you place yourself saying what Moses said without knocking him in this situation right here in verse 11? God called him to go deliver Israel from Egypt. And he says in verse 11, he said it to God. They're having an interaction. And he says, who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? Have you ever been there where you've said to the Lord, who am I that I should, whatever it is that God's dealing with you on? And even myself here, why am I standing here after our precious Pastor Frank died so many years ago? I knew at that time, and I know now, where am I going to go if he wants me standing here? So I can't argue with the Lord and say, who am I? He calls us to serve him in whatever capacity, unique as it is. Unique as we are, God has called us to serve him. I'll never know many things that you all know uniquely where you are. But God wants to use you right where you are. And every man, woman, and child in here, God is jealous for to be used for his glory. God jealously desires the spirit that he put in us to serve him. How about that? And sometimes the Lord may say something to you, to say somebody at a grocery store or wherever you are, or a picnic, wherever it is, and you need not say to the Lord, who am I that I should say it? The conversation's over. He pricks your heart to say something or do something, then you do it. And so don't argue with the Lord and say, who am I that I should? And Moses goes on here and he kind of has this dialogue with the Lord. But he begins by saying, who am I? And look at God's response to him when he starts this conversation with him. And in verse 12, look at God's response. It says, certainly I will be with you, and this shall be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God at this mountain. You're going to return back here and worship me. It's going to be the sign that I was in it the whole time. But anyhow, God in verse 12, I just thought that was so powerful. He doesn't tell Moses who he is and give Moses all of his qualifications, who he is, that he's the one that should do this. He just says, certainly I'll be with you. How many of you sometimes feel inferior or not able or not capable to do what God has called you to do? And that is basically to live this life, speak and say and live and move and exist and have your being in him. How many of you find sometimes that maybe God put something on you more difficult than what you can handle? And that you can't do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can't do it. Not right now. Give me 5 minutes. A little time out. I've got a little anger here. I got to manifest it, so I will deal with your mercy later. But right now, let me do my thing. How many of you have kind of wanted to do that and maybe have done that and regretted that because you do love the Lord? So he doesn't throw you out just because you do the timeout thing once in a while. But God doesn't argue with him about who he is. Who am I that I should go? He says, certainly I'll be with you. Isn't that nice? And that's powerful. And so many times in my own life, I say, Lord, who am I? Who am I that I should? And I'm just, God's not going to go there and argue with me about that. Put your shoes on. Get outfitted. Be armored in the Lord and go do it. Whatever God has for you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The application is everything, though. We can talk about this. You can talk about the relevance here and the principles here. But until we go out and do it, it doesn't mean anything. The experience is what makes the difference of trusting God. Doing all things, trusting Him. And the experience of that is where it's at. And so, look at this. Number one, he says, who am I? Go on down to the end of verse 13. And it says, what shall I say to them? That's the second thing, second question he has. And go on over to the third thing he says in chapter 4, verse 1. Moses answered and said, what if they will not believe me or listen to what I say? He's so concerned about all these things before going out to do what God wants him to do, he seems like he has to have some of these things resolved before he goes out. That's the third thing. And turn on over to verse 10 in chapter 4. And he says, Moses said to the Lord, please, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither recently nor in time past, nor since thou hast spoken to thy servant, for I am slow of speech and slow of tongues. And the Lord says to him, what's he say? After he says, I'm slow of speech. What does your Bible say? In verse 11, the Lord said what?
Who gave man his mouth.
Who gave man his mouth. And it says, who gave man his mouth, or who makes him dumb or deaf or seen or blind? Is it not the Lord? So we have been enabled to do this. We have been enabled to do this. Jesus, after he resurrected, received the gift of the Father, the Holy Spirit for us, to be indwelled with the Holy Spirit, enabled with the Holy Spirit, in order to do and to walk this life in a way that is in obedience to him. Sometimes we just don't feel like it. Sometimes we'd rather stay in bed instead of get up and face the day. I have seen people that have been fetal because of circumstances. They've gone fetal, literally fetal, on a couch or in bed, fetal, over circumstances. Sometimes very, very powerful circumstances. Things have happened. Death in the family and things at work, whatever. They've just gone fetal and they couldn't handle it. But in Christ Jesus, if we trust Him in the moment, in those powerful moments, we can do all things because He strengthens us to do them. It's not always easy. I just talking about Moses here just a little bit because it's pretty real. I can relate to what he's saying, but there's no excuses. When it comes to the Lord putting His hand upon you and sending you to do what He called you to do. And then the fifth time, this gets the Lord angry. And believe me, whenever you see any scripture about the Lord being angry, that's God's anger, and He has any right that He wants to be angry about. God can be as angry as He wants to be, but you can believe it's holy anger. You can all, no, don't ever get confused about God getting angry, because He doesn't get angry like us. God has wrath, and He pours it down at times as an example for the disobedient. And it's going to happen in the future. We know that. It's been foretold. The wrath of God will come upon the disobedient. But in verse 13, one more time, the fifth time, he says, please, Lord, Moses says to God, please, Lord, after all that discussion, now send the message by whomever, whomsoever, or whomever thou wilt. Now, I've already told you I want you. I've already picked out who I want to send the message. And Moses says, well, now, Lord, send whoever you want. And so that got the Lord angry. But the Lord dealt with him and he gave him Aaron as a mouthpiece. He said, Aaron will be like a god to you. I'm going to tell Aaron, you're going to be like a god to Aaron. I'm going to give you the words to tell Aaron. Aaron's going to speak them. Boy, the Lord was really patient, huh? See, this is about the patience of God with an individual. And God's been very patient with you, and He's been very patient with me, because He knows me. He knows me before I was fashioned in the womb. He knows me now the way I am. But I don't want to be me anymore. I want to be Him. I want to be in Christ now. I want to be the new man He called me to be. I don't want to be bucking Him and resisting Him. I want to go with His flow. And boy, I'm telling you, at times that's painful. Sometimes that's... I don't enjoy that. And believe me, there's nobody knows you better, I believe, than your wife. Or no one knows you better than your husband. So, on this earth. But who knows you better than all that is God. So, that's why husbands and wives, and they have interactions, and they're going through the growth process of dying and laying their lives down. Shirley and I have plenty of opportunities to lay it down. And to really prove that we really love the Lord. And there's been times when I've been really edified to know that I'm laying it down because I don't want to be me anymore. I want Christ to be in me. I want to walk that way. And so, how many of you know that just like Moses and just like you today, God is not going to put it on you more than what you can bear? But we are not going to be tempted beyond which we are able to bear, that God will make a way of escape. That's what we're talking about. God's not going to put on you more than what you can bear. And temptation is not only just, you know, lust and sexual related stuff, but temptations can be the temptations to be angry or to be resistant to what God wants you to do. The temptation to not go but stay and not move in the Spirit of God. Temptation can come in many different ways. But anyhow, God's not going to put on us more than what we can bear. He's not going to put on more Moses than what He can bear. He's not going to put on more you and I today than what we can bear. I believe that with all my heart. But in the circumstances and the reality of it, for example, we have someone in our body just recently that has faced the plague of bed bugs in their home, discovered them, found them, punctured one of them, and blood came out. And so he was feeding on something in my little granddaughter's bed. And anyhow, so they've gone through the whole process of having the house tented to go after all of them and anything else in the house. And so, lo and behold, the process has been done, but it wasn't easy. It was not easy to do all the things required that they asked you to do. Not easy to have your house tented and go through that whole process. And let's just say there were, the bottom line is, let's just say, actually, there were only bed bugs in the coping of my little granddaughter's bed, and that's the only place they were. We don't know that. We have eggs, we spread, we go, and so you don't know that. But anyhow, it's been done, but the process that y'all went through to have that done is really a process of trusting God in that moment. This is side. We're talking right now this side of the tenting. It's over, the tent is off, they can go back. But during the process, or even hearing about what has to be done, I don't need to be spending. I don't have the money. This is crazy. All the money it's going to take to tent this house. We don't need this. But God will make a way where there seems to be no way, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I would not want to have that news today told me that we've got to tent our house. I would not want that. So there's been a lot of prayer about that. We've been praying. We've been asking God to give you success. They've had success. It's been financed. It's been taken care of. And it's over. God will not put on us more than what we can bear. It's your house, not mine. That's Moses, not me. But we all serve the same God, and He wants us all to be successful in trusting Him. This past week, I brought a demo for you of something that depicts exactly what we're talking about. This past week, my crew and I were working on a project, and the Lord speaks to me loud and clear when we're out working. Our assignment was to remove a stump from the cemetery for a new tree to be planted. And the tree was an East Palatka holly tree. It wasn't ready to be
dead yet. The stump was there. The roots were very much green, alive, and well. And I estimated what I thought it was going to take to get it out, because we've done this many times before. But this one was kind of a small top to it, but a bigger bottom underground, subterranean, that you couldn't see. So anyhow, in this process of removing the stump so a new tree could be planted, otherwise you just grind it a little bit, grind it, but you can't plant a new tree where you grind one. You have to have the whole stump out. And these are cemeteries, and there's a head here, and that's right where they wanted, so the whole stump had to come out. So anyhow, we cut, and then we hook it up to the truck, and then we pull. Well, obviously, I brought this today to share with us because I knew there was a theme that I wanted to share with you. God will not put on you more than what you can bear. We put on this rope as we hooked it up to the stump with a great big truck, more than what it can bear. And I wasn't concerned about it breaking because the age of the rope and all is still high quality and all that kind of stuff. But we put on it more than what it could bear. This is you, this is me, trying to do it our way. More than what we can bear, we come undone. This is much more than what it can bear. So we're cautious. We rope it, we tie it, we get on the truck and we feel it. We feel it out. We feel it out. And it holds, for a while. But you will find the breaking point. You can try it for a while. I can do this. And you can try it for a while and see, God, it's coming, it's working, it's working. And stretch, 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 stretch. Boom! Until it comes to a point where you've exceeded the load limit that is given on this. When you buy this from Lowe's or Home Depot or hardware store, it'll tell you the load, 2,000 pounds or 4,000 pounds or whatever it is. But if you keep pushing it, you will find out that it is you and not God's strength. Your strength can't do it. But we went beyond, and this is what happened. Yes, we did eventually get it out. Although it broke the rope, we did more cutting. And I got out other persuasive things to get it out. And one thing that helped a lot was a chainsaw at a certain point. So we got it out, and we got the new tree in. And the new tree is beautiful. Everything's been achieved. The people are happy that wanted it done. But it was a process. So it is in our life. I get it, Lord. I get it. I don't want to be ahead of you trying to do my own stubborn, prideful thing here and get in trouble. But I want to use the right equipment, the right tools, for the right situation to have success. Even though we got it out, that was no longer useful at this point where it broke. And so we make mistakes. How many of you made mistakes and you got broken and you felt broken and you felt the whole thing and you've maybe shed some tears and you're sorry? And God makes all things whole. God makes all things new for us who love Him and that are called according to His purpose. God will not put on you more than what you can bear. Never has, never will. Not Moses, not you, not me. Now there are things that we're going to go through that sometimes may seem like, wow, I don't know how much more of this I can take, because it's been cloudy for a few days, it's been stormy for a few days, and things are getting kind of interesting down here. We need some sunshine. Look at this process, how powerful this is, and turn with me, if you would, to these scriptures to describe exactly what I'm saying right now. That, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. It's not going to last forever. Nicole, you get going through something and it seems difficult, but weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Always know that God is never, never hindered from delivering us and helping us. Not Moses, not you, not me, not Paul, but He will always come through, and He will never put something on you more than what you can bear. But this is powerful. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6,
This is, you'll see this as we go through this. These scriptures are perhaps not new to you, but the newness is in experiencing God's message for us here today. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and starting with verse 1. This is pretty powerful. And Paul is speaking to the Corinthians, and working together, starting with verse 1, with him, and working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, at the acceptable time, I listened to you, and on the day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And don't understand salvation as being a one-time thing that you initially ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you. That we understand that as salvation. That is salvation, but what about the next day and the next day and the next day and the next day? The day you die, those are days of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. Now, he says also, after he says, this is the day of salvation, verse 2, verse 3, giving no cause for offense in anything, in order that the ministry be not discredited, but in everything, commending ourselves as servants of God. Now watch this. It seems like you're going downstairs to the basement. Because everything, these next few words, it seems like you're going downstairs into the basement. Now watch this. But in everything, commending ourselves as servants of God, in much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in distresses, in beatings, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger. It seems like everything just right now that I mentioned was like going downstairs. But in everything, committing ourselves to the Lord, even in these tumults, even in these imprisonments, even in these sleepless nights and hungers, we are going to commit everything to the Lord. It seems like, yeah, Lord, and yet all I'm doing is going down. Have you ever noticed, you ever known anybody that way? It seems like committing everything to the Lord, and yet it seems like it's going down. But watch what happens after we get down to this last one. We're going up. But I don't think you're going to go up unless you commend everything that is going down to the Lord. I believe that with all my heart. Wherever you are, whatever circumstances you're in, you need to commend that to the Lord. We got bed bugs. This is horrible, horrific. You can't get rid of them unless you do this and this and this and a whole process. Or you can tint your house and do this. But that's the time to trust the God. That's the time when Paul says to rejoice always. And that's not funny, ha-ha, rejoice. That's some deep stuff. That's a relationship. It seems like we're going downstairs. And then all of a sudden, after he says, in labors and sleeplessness and hunger, he begins to lead us up, and he says, in purity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, in the word of truth, in the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness, for the right hand and for the left, by glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, regarded as deceivers, yet true, as unknown, yet well known, as dying, yet behold, we live, as punished, yet not put to death, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Always rejoicing. Paul said that several times. Rejoice always. As poor, yet making many rich, as travailing, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. We're going back upstairs. But he says, commend everything, the good, the bad, the ugly, to the Lord. Always. How many of us have been successful doing that? I have not always been successful doing that. it's no fun when you're going through tribulations. But I'm to commend those times and commit those times to the Lord. Now I know, because of experience, it will work out for my good if I continue instead of quit. It'll work out. Therefore, after all those things are said about commending everything to the Lord, after all those things and all that Paul's been through, turn with me, if you would, to Philippians 4:4. And you'll see here he says it again. Paul says it again in Philippians 4:4. After all these things and all the things he's been through, he says, Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord. What does your Bible say?
Always.
Rejoice in the Lord what?
Always.
Let's say it with some authority. Rejoice in the Lord.
Always.
Again, I say,
rejoice.
No, that's cool. I could be saying it again. Rejoice in the Lord. We sing that song, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It's easy to sing it and all that kind of stuff and have fun with it. But how many of you are rejoicing always? It's not that fleshy rejoice. You know what I mean. It's deep from the heart. Lord, I mean, if I've got a problem, a dental problem, or if I'm having a physical problem, or if my car is just not doing anything and spending hundreds or even thousands of dollars and trying to get things repaired, or my roof leaks, or whatever's going on, it's not just easy to rejoice. We're not talking about, oh, I'm so happy I got to have my house tinted. I'm so happy I got to buy 4 new tires. I'm so happy my transmission's out. I'm so happy I got to get another car completely. It's going to cost me several thousand dollars. I'm so happy. I'm just rejoicing. We're not talking about that. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day regardless. And you may not have a big smile on your face when you're rejoicing either. That comes from the heart and from the depths of the heart. I'm never going to knock you if I see you going through something very difficult. I have no desire, no reason to make myself look better by knocking you. And the Lord doesn't do that. But He does want us to rejoice. And Paul, we're not going to read him right now, but we know what Paul went through. 5 times beaten, and beaten with rods, and sleepless nights, and shipwrecks, and stoned, left for dead. He got up, went back into town, started preaching again. They meant to kill him. And all the rotting, and the whipping, and the stripping. And they were so nice. They were so legal about it. Deuteronomy says you can lay a man down and whip him if he's found to be guilty up to 40 times. You can give him the lashes. Up to 40 lashes, but no more. That's the law. So they were really nice. They were really cool, abiding by the law. They backed off one. They gave him 39. I think it's 5 times he was whipped with 39 lashes. And the law says if you're proven to be a real bad guy, there was nothing that he did wrong whatsoever, and yet he received 5 times 39 lashes. I have a whip at the house. Some of you may have seen it sometime. I pop it out here sometimes. It's 12 feet long. And at one time I made a mistake when I was whipping it. It came back around my head and it caught my eye right here, the corner of my eye. And man, I dropped to my knees and I said, oh Lord, I thank you that I still have my eye. I'm so grateful, Lord. And I was so stupid because I was still learning to do it. You got to be so careful because I just took it and I saw a leaf I was going to pop. And I just went like this. This is going to pop the leaf. But there's a technique to it. And that thing came where I should have goggles or a football helmet on or something. I mean, now I do it. I've never done that. But I've caught my leg sometimes. But to be, mm-hmm. It breaks the sound barrier. That's what makes the pop. It breaks the sound barrier and that noise. But can you imagine? I don't think they used cat o' nine tails on him, but they used some severe whips. Jesus, they did, but I mean, they had cat o' nine tails at the end of the whip. It was had burrs and these thorny things on the end. They just like somebody taking a ball of glass
shards of glass or pottery or something and just whipping you with it. 39, no, I mean, Drew, I mean, one time would just, I give. But it doesn't matter if you did. They got you strapped down. They got you strapped down and you're going to scream or kick or whatever and they're going to do it to you. He had it done 5 times, 39 times. His back must have been just filleted. And yet, the whole point of just sharing that with you is, he says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice always. The man that had this done to him, and all the other things that we know that were done to him, he says, rejoice always. Is he nuts? I mean, you expect me to do that if I were to face that? You know what? You never have to say something like, I hope I never have to face what he faced because I don't think I could do it. If God has you facing something, whatever it is in your life, God will enable you to serve him in that moment. He miraculously, you'll be walking on the water instead of under the water. However, those are all for our examples. God doesn't say we're going to be walking on the water like Peter and all, but those are principles of truth. So whatever I have to go through, I know that God is going to enable me to serve him faithfully in that moment. I believe that with all my heart. And I believe that is true for every single one of us. And he says, after he says, rejoice always, again, in case you didn't hear me, yeah, I know I'm Paul and I've been through all these things and I know you all know a lot of things I've been through. Again, yeah, you heard me clearly, I say rejoice. You heard right, he said. I say rejoice. He said, man, are you crazy? I know what you've been through. Show us your back. And all what you would see was just rib and flesh, kind of. I wonder if they laid him out sometimes and re-whipped him after about 2 months of being just barely healed. You know how long it takes for scars to heal? Can you imagine being laid out again after a couple months or 3 months or even 6 months? Laying out those scars again, and not only the second time, but the third time, the fourth time, and the fifth time. Reopening or going beside or through or across those other wounds that were already there. To me, that would be a testimony. If Paul were to be here, come here, Paul, come on, Paul. Bring him in and show you and me, our brother. This is real. It's no figment of someone's imagination. It's no story that is not true. It's true. Here's a witness. Come in, witness. Here's Paul. And we raise his shirt up and we see his back. What? Can you imagine the reaction you'd have right now? Yeah, he would turn around. He would turn right around and say, but I want you to rejoice always. And again, I say, rejoice. I would feel sorry for him. I would feel that. I feel my brother. I would feel that. I said, man, I think I would just, I'd be wet with tears. Other times he said to those who really loved him, he said, I know now you'll see my face no more. Because he knew it was getting toward the end. They were all martyred. How can a man like that be so willing to subject himself to such brutality unless he had conviction? And yet we will have such a hard time if whatever Mickey Mouse happens in our life that upsets us. I just can't imagine some of the times the things that upset us. It's ridiculous. If Paul would see that and say, man, I love you, but you got some things to learn. What a brother. And we're not talking about Jesus. It's unreal what he went through. We're just talking about an example. Because it says right here in the scripture, in your handout, and in your take it home today, it says, Paul considered himself the foremost of all sinners. He said he was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a violent aggressor against the faithful followers of Jesus Christ. He later became a recipient of God's grace and found mercy through Jesus Christ. And here's what he said. Paul said,
that Jesus demonstrated his perfect patience toward him as an example for those who would believe him for eternal life. So Paul says, I'm being used as an example for you guys for God's patience toward someone that was so brutal toward the church. So brutal, yet God loved me, so patient toward me. He loved me. And God used me as an example. What a brother. What a brother. It makes me think right now in sharing with you, I've got a lot to learn about dying to self. He paid for it dearly in his testimony in this world. He didn't do anything wrong. Nothing wrong whatsoever. It was all right. He went out to preach the gospel, and yet he paid dearly for it. Wow. I want to share this with you in light of rejoicing always. And we're going to close. We're not going to be able to get through everything. That's why I wanted to share with you Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I want to share this with you, these powerful scriptures about, you know, rejoicing in a continual way before the Lord. In Proverbs 15:15, all the days of the afflicted are bad, but a cheerful heart has a what? Continual feast. Somehow Paul, with every brutal, I mean, these Romans were not wimps. They were not wimps, and so even the priesthood had their guards, and these guys were brutal. They did not just lightly tap him with these scourgings. They went at it with all full force. And here he is, in all these afflictions, having a continual feast, knowing that his labor was not in vain. That's how he did it. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, laying it down for Jesus, God somehow gave him the strength to get up from the beatings and go out, experience a stoning, or experiencing shipwreck, or experiencing all these things that he experienced. No, he was not bitten by that snake, was he? It crawled on his hand. And this time, no, I'm not going to be poisoned by you, directed by God's Spirit. He shook him off into the fire. Then they worshipped him as a god. First they thought he was evil because he had a snake on him. He's got to be an evil guy. Then he shook the snake off. Then they start to worship him. So here is a condition that he was walking by the Spirit of God. He was not afflicted with a snake in this case. He shakes him off. But those who are afflicted, but trust God, they're going to have a continual feast with a cheerful heart. In Psalm 68:19, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Daily loads us with benefits. Benefits. You're going down the stairs, and we talk about all those things, but we're coming up the stairs. We're getting benefits. You're getting benefits from laying your life down for the Lord. You're getting benefited by that. And Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. In Psalm 94:19, when my anxious thoughts multiply within me, thy comforts delight my soul. How many of you have been anxious lately? Any anxiety? Anxiety is what? Apprehension for the future. Anxious. Anybody been anxious lately? When my anxious thoughts multiply within me, it says, Thy comforts delight my soul. In Psalm 104:33-34, it says, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live, and I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. That's rejoicing always. My meditation of him shall be sweet, and I will be glad in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. It's just constant other scriptures. In Philippians 3:1, this is Paul again, but not in Philippians 4. This is Philippians 3:1. Paul says, again, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble for me, and it's a safeguard for you. Rejoice always in any and every circumstances. If you are not feasting continually, it's your own fault. I believe that with all my heart. Paul feasted in prison. He feasted when shipwrecked. He feasted when he was hungry. He feasted when he was beaten. He feasted when he was tortured. He feasted when he was stoned. He feasted when he was mocked. He was feasting in prison. He ended up singing to the Lord in prison, down in their prisons. Not like our prisons today. Their prisons. Smelly, horrible, dark, disease-ridden. They didn't care if they died down there. You didn't have no doctor for you. You don't care if you get a disease, get cholera, whatever. Go ahead and die. You're going to die anyhow. We're not going to let you out. So there's no reason to be friendly. You know? But the man was sentenced for what? A life in Jesus Christ. I want to get to that scripture. I want to get right to that scripture, Philippians 4:13. And read it to you in four different versions. We're going to close with that. Today, it's on my heart to share with us that we have been enabled to serve the Lord. We can do this. We have the capability. So don't do what Moses said and say, well, why send me? You got the wrong guy. No, he hasn't. He's got the wrong guy for those who don't want to serve him. But for those who do, he's got the right guy. He's got the right woman. He's got the right child. And in Philippians 4:13, I want to read that to you in four different versions. I know some of you have some of the different versions here today, and you'll have one of these. But in the King James versions, Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. I always felt that was wrong. I felt, and I know, and I understand, even in the Greek, it shouldn't be which, it should be who. Can anyone comment on that to know what I'm saying here? I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me, or who strengthens me? Let's just say I have a 4-pound weight and I'm going like this. I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me, or who strengthens me? Now God will use the weights, yes, to do the thing on the muscles, whatever he's got to do, but it's who strengthens me, not which. He uses the witches things in our life, the objects, but it's God that strengthens us. So the King James says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. The things will strengthen you, but it is God using those things. It is he who is doing it. You understand? And here's another version. New American Standard says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the Amplified says, at least I think you got Amplified.
I don't have it today.
Huh? You don't have today. I have it.
What's it say?
Who has it? Okay, I have it. The Amplified Bible. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. That is, I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. And the last one, New International Version, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Every single one of them are acknowledging who. And Philippians 4:13, in the Greek, it would say, all things I can do in the one who empowers me. God will use things in your life. He'll use people, places, and things, but it is God working through them to strengthen you. How many of you know you have some weakness and you need to be strengthened? And you're open for God to strengthen you to be able to do what he called you to do. Now we just have to go out and what? Apply our Christianity. So easy to talk about it. It's another thing to apply it. We've got to apply it. And so things can seem complex. They can seem difficult. The waves can seem great. The storms, the trials that we go through. But nothing is too difficult for the Lord. He laughs at adversity. It's not too difficult for him. Praise the Lord. May the Lord bless you as you think about these scriptures today, those who may be listening on the internet, wherever, those of us that are here today, and really hide in your heart to know that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, but you're going to have to trust him to do it. And by the way, don't say, you got the right guy, you got the right woman, who, me, that type of thing. Go get somebody else that won't work with the Lord. He's called each and every one of us to serve him. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And we are enabled to serve because of that. God bless you.